Week one in the CFL this week. The Stampeders getting ready to defend the Grey Cup this season, and it all begins with a matchup against the Ottawa Redblacks this week. Very pleased to be joined by the head coach of the Calgary Stampeders. It is Dave Dickinson. Dave, how are you today?
I'm good. What's this big announcement? Come on, give me some scoop.
Not yet. You have to wait.
The only hint you get, coach, is stand-up comedy. That's the only hint you get.
Ooh, that's a big hint.
Stand-up comedy, yeah. Okay.
Boomer's going to be taking over at Grey Eagle. He's going to be doing a stand-up show. That's going to be the announcement.
Oh, man, we miss my boy Lee over there at Grey Eagle. Yeah, no doubt.
So finally, the regular season is here. Preseason football, okay, it's out of the way. Now that the games start to matter, you must be pretty excited to get week one rolling.
We are. You know, it's crazy, though. It's like you think you're kind of a veteran at this. You've done it a long time, and it just kind of that first week, everything still feels new, and you kind of, you really, the anticipation even as coaches, you just want to see all that work in the off season if it pays off. So we got a weird schedule too, because we play and then we go on a bye. So we really have one game and then go on a bye. So it kind of feels like this game has even more importance.
You've been at this a long time, Dave, and certainly as a coach.
Easy.
Sorry. This is just your second year as a head. No, I'm just kidding. You've been around this game for a long time, and I know this year maybe it's a little bit different because of a lot of roster change and personnel change with your players. I think you've probably been asked this in the past, but do you like having just two games to evaluate? Where are you on the two-game preseason schedule?
I'm good with it, actually. I like it. I know it does require a little bit more work in the off season, but I mean, as a fan and someone that goes to games, I want to go to the games that count, and the preseason counts to make the team, but nobody knows what your record is. So, I kind of think the four preseason in the NFL is too much. I think people don't care and don't want to watch it. So I'm inclined to stay with the two, and then, and obviously then the, a little bit more importance for those games, that 18-game schedule. We get two more that count, and I think people like that.
I've never been part of the game planning for a week one, and I'm going to suggest probably never will be. Well, what's the difference between game planning for a preseason game and the prep for week one of the regular season? How do things change now for you?
Well, I mean, preseason, you're just kind of doing vanilla stuff for that you kind of work on yourself, and you're not trying to surprise anyone or do anything that they haven't seen. The thing that's so hard with week one is, you know, I know that's what other teams do as well. So what do you really prepare for? And do you really know what the other side of the ball is, the other team's doing in the off season? They could have a completely different package in this. So what you really want to focus on is yourself. You want to talk over scenarios, and then the team has to realize that there will need to be more sideline adjustments. There needs to be communication on the sideline to change things. And that's where we're at an interesting, I guess, our team, you know, what type of team are we? And then are we veteran enough to be able to change things on the fly on the sideline? And that's when you have veteran guys and you say, hey, we're going to go back to this. And they've already done it. It's easy. But when you have rooks and you have young guys and you're saying, hey, we're changing this, we're going to this, they look at you like you're crazy. That's when you got to be a little bit careful about how much, I guess, adjustments you're going to make. So it's kind of a new year, definitely a new team. And we are excited to get it on, though. And, you know, Ottawa's had a bunch of change as well. You know, obviously even in their coaching staff, losing Elizondo late. So a lot of there's some things out there we just don't know about. A lot of that's kind of up in the air, but that's why you play the games.
Yeah, I was going to say, people talk about how much your roster has turned over. There's some pretty big changes in key positions to Ottawa. So how does that affect the preparation for a team? Obviously, week one, there's a lot of things that can be different anyway, but now a Red Blacks team that has had so much turnover this offseason.
Yeah, I mean, everybody goes in the year with high hopes and expectations that they're going to do well. You know, realistically, it's always easier to when you got guys that you've done it with before and that you kind of know they're good football players. But having new guys and sometimes younger guys does kind of keep the game fresh. And it's not hard to motivate these guys. I mean, they're not only are they playing to win, they're playing for their jobs. And, you know, I think it'll be a good battle. I think obviously they feel like they had to make some changes and some of their guys left you know, for the bigger dollars, sounds familiar over here. So, you know, just two teams trying to get off to an early start. And we're big on protecting our home field at McMahon. We know we have to do it. And in order to be a good football team, you got to make McMahon a tough place to play. And Think it's going to be a nice game, nice weather. We're hoping the fans come out and we can get loud and have some fun.
You had mentioned before that the first few weeks you kind of just focus on what you're doing compared to what the other team is. When does that flip? At what point in the season is there enough tape and enough studying of tendencies that you can start looking at the other team's game plans too?
Usually 3 or 4 weeks in. I mean, you kind of get a sense of who they are. They can probably get a sense of who you are as well. But you certainly there seems to be sometimes in the off season, whether all the coaches go to the same teaching seminars or the same clinics, they're almost sometimes we laugh. It's almost like there was a memo that went out that we're going to play this coverage or we're going to do this formation, and like all the teams seem to be using it. And it does change from year to year. So you're just, yeah, that's why it gives you the stress a little bit about playing early, is you just don't know. But as long as you have some guys that can adjust and you have a plan in case they go with different personnel groupings, should be fine. But I'd say around week 3 or 4, you kind of get a sense of what type of team. Are they a heavy blitz team? Do they want to play a lot of coverage? You know, do they like to play with an extra offensive lineman, try to run the ball and pound it out, or are they they're going to stretch the field vertically on you? They kind of get a sense after 3 or 4 games.
Chatting with the coach of the Calgary Stampeders, Dave Dickinson, ahead of their game Saturday against the Ottawa Redblacks here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Coach, injuries do suck. You lost Brad Erdos for the year in training camp. He's a national offensive lineman who started every game for you the last 2 years. How does that change your ratio on the O-line and maybe the look of it here in game one?
It affected us. You know, we weren't sure if we were going to go the three Canadians in the interior. That would have allowed us to play a different ratio either on defense or at the receiving core. And losing Brad so early, certainly, yeah, that kind of, I guess, it just made our mind up for us. We still could have probably done it, but our depth was really taxed. So we may have to do that down the road, though, depending on who else gets hurt. But that was a big loss. No bigger, though, than losing Flo, because Flo, our defensive end, that's probably where we were the thinnest anyway. We lost a lot of good defensive ends in the last few years, and Flo, I felt, was this young guy that was exciting, that caused people problems, that could be a difference maker, and him getting 2 plays in the preseason hurts as well. But, you know, when you start worrying about your injuries and not about the team, that's when you got problems. And you know, Flo's not necessarily done for the year, but we do have to move forward. I mean, Brad is definitely, you know, one of those guys who will miss his leadership, but he'll be around. And also, Brad's a pretty good athlete in there. He did a great job on our screen game. If you watch the tape of the Grey Cup, I mean, he's leading Don in the end zone. So, yeah, you miss things, but you move on. And you try to find out the new players, what they're good at, and you try to use their talents to the best of their ability.
Certainly, it was an ugly injury last year. What do we know right now, Coach, about Kamar Jordan?
We just got to temper our expectations with him and just let him get healthy. And I wouldn't expect any real updates till minimum Labor Day. He's doing a good job. You know, we also got Romar here that blew his Achilles in the West Final. You know, some good football players that we're going to try to, I guess, let Father Time heal and see if they can still be as explosive and as good of football players as they were. Kamar was at the top of his game last year, and I'm excited that he is working hard. He's in meetings, but I definitely have tempered my expectations for him. And to be realistic, I mean, he may not play this year. And so that's one of those things, you know, same when anyone gets hurt, but you want to make sure you give them some love and that they feel part of the team, but also you got to give them enough time when you have big injuries like that to heal.
The big offseason story was, of course, your quarterback. How has he looked in preseason? And I guess overall, where's your comfort level with your offense here heading into week one?
I mean, yeah, it's big news. To be honest, he's looked great, but that should be expected, you know, playing pretty simple football of it. Wasn't throwing the ball accurately. He's making really good decisions. You could tell I think he's really enjoying it. Not that he shouldn't in any year, but yeah, he still looks motivated to me. That's always an issue with veterans sometimes, and they've had great success and coming off a Grey Cup victory is, you know, are we hungry? He looks very hungry as far as he's still here early. He's still pushing the envelope. He's still wanting to do more. He'll have to be, you know, our best player for us to have a good year, and we expect that.
A lot of talk as well about your defense. Your training camp thoughts in terms of the competition amongst them and how they've looked early with Brett Monson at the controls.
Well, I do think we're young and we need to grow. The thing we've been so lucky is we've been able to get pressure on the quarterback, not necessarily having to blitz, and we are still working on that. We like to say we lose in flow. I think we do need to turn it up a notch, and we also have to understand that let's find some different ways to use our players. I like our linebacking core. We're losing two of the best, Alex and Jameer. I still think we're going to have really good linebackers. I like that position. DB-wise, I think we're still in the process of finding out who can talk, who can communicate, who can make plays, who can make adjustments on the fly. There are some positions there. We lost three members of our back end, and the one I think people don't talk about is Adam Berger. I mean, he retired there just before the draft. Adam really solidified us in the back end. He's a great communicator, great leader, and we're missing him. So we got to make sure we find the right mix, the right players to fill in there, and then the guys got to step it up.
Final one from me. I know a lot of the talent moved west this year. There's certainly going to be a lot of competition in your division, and as the defending Grey Cup champions, there's already those questions about it. Having the Grey Cup game here, is that something that's ever on the mind of your players? Is that something you don't even think about? Obviously, with being the defending Cup champs, the pressure's already there, but with the Grey Cup game here, is that maybe added pressure going into the season?
I would think there's enough pressure, so no reason to add anymore. But I will say we really don't think about it because it's so far away. I think if you think that far away, you'll lose track of what's important, which is right in front of you. Now, it would be cool and it would be special. We want to grow and get to the Grey Cup. We don't necessarily care where it's at, but it would be pretty special to be in a game at home. And for some reason, it doesn't seem to happen. It just doesn't seem to happen very often when the home team is able to get in. But be a big advantage. You'd have your own locker room. You'd have your own facilities. You'd feel very comfortable in that city. And if it could ever happen, I would think you'd certainly would be an advantage for that team. But it does seem like a long way away. It really does. I know people are talking about it. Calgary's excited because it's been a while, and they put on a good show and a good party. But for us, we just got to focus on week one. I know it's cliche, but it's what it is. Especially with a bye in week two, you just got to look forward to this one game, go out there and win.
Dave, thanks for doing this today. Really appreciate it, and best of luck on Saturday.
Thanks, guys. I'll talk to you next week.